Do you know that he's never, ever performed in public before? He performed last week, at, or the week before at the Jam, and then last week. This is his second ever live performance.
If she would have stuck around.
Look at him.
I think we could have had some fun.
I know. It looks like he's been performing all of his life.
Maybe some seasons in sun.
Listen to them. This is the guy that joined the Jam about 6 or 7 weeks ago and was so timid that he waited outside the closed door toward the room where we hold the Jam.
It would have been long in medieval times. I really liked her, but she's dead. Although I don't know how she died. One guy told me it was crank.
My name is Dan Meisner, and I am a recent ukulele convert.
She cut her own head off with a knife. I think that would have been too hard.
I got a ukulele just this past Christmas as a gift from a friend of mine, and I played it and played it and played it and played it, and my wife, I think, hates it. And in looking for an opportunity to play the ukulele outside of the house, I stumbled across this Corktown ukulele gem, and it has significantly benefited my marriage.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
The Corktown ukulele jam came about in December 2008, when two Toronto musicians and ukulele enthusiasts put out the call for amateur ukulele players. Co-organizer Steve McNee took a break from reviewing some ukulele open mic video footage on his laptop to talk about how the jam got started.
We put an ad in Craigslist, put another one in Kijiji, sent out a feeler. We said, if you're interested in something like this, go to torontoukes.com and sign up. Within about a week and a half, we had 40 people. We chose a date. It was January the 14th. And it started as simple as that. It was organic, and we've been going every week since, and it's just blossomed.
But to me, she'll still be dead until she calls me on the phone.
The previous week's open mic best of show had been taped for YouTube.
Yeah, but please make sure you're at the door when Dave opens it. That's what's most important.
You know, Andy is our MC tonight, and he's got information that you've all provided.
All right, well, Kelly Savard is right on stage. She couldn't resist a second shot at the limelight because she has those millions.
The concept of last week was to take each of those performances and clip them and float them on YouTube, where thousands of people from all over the world are covering songs and presenting their own songs. And we want to be part of that. They call it the third wave of ukulele. And so we've taken that a step further and dubbed it Uke 3.0.
Uker, Uki, Ukulelean? The TorontoUkes.com website offers several terms for ukulele players. I caught up with McNee's co-Eucharist, as the Uke Jam hosts are called, just before the Best of Show got started.
So I'm David Newland, and I'm the co-host and co-founder of the Corktown Ukulele Jam. We're at the Dominion on Queen in Corktown, which is sort of a storied neighborhood in Toronto with a really interesting history, part of the old warehouse and industrial district of Toronto. It's a great period bar. It's the second oldest pub in the city, and it's got a great look. It's an old red brick hotel with a pub in it. It's got a wonderful speakeasy room in the back where we've done our jams to date, and it's just really nicely located in a neighborhood, you know, with a certain gritty feel to it that's a little bit iconic that we really like.
Everybody see that? What is it? Call that.
Each 3-hour evening is broken into two parts. First, a tutorial.
It's 9777.
And then an open mic session where jam participants can cut loose. Each tutorial is structured around a theme, and song sheets are sent out in advance so the group can practice.
5, 6, 7, he's not talking about frets.
One night's theme was rain, and the scheduled songs included Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, It's Raining Men, etc.
What is the chord for? It is
John Button was quietly reviewing his song sheet for the evening.
The song sheet is actually called You Stop the Rain. So by Clearwater Revival. So I'm not sure how the song goes, but I know the chords. I've been practicing the chords quite a lot.
This is quite a famous song, but you're not.
I've heard of it, but I haven't really sung it myself.
John emigrated from Hong Kong, where he was introduced to music by his father.
My dad's a sea captain, and he brought back the harmonica, mouth organ, and we started with that. And then from that, we moved to he brought the guitar back and picked it up, and our friends picked it up. We jammed around with that. We played for a band for a while, made a band up and played in dances and all that. So we enjoyed ourselves, and ukulele wasn't really an instrument of our choice. We liked the loud sound and so forth, but I find it's very soothing.
Why would you recommend the ukulele to someone just getting into music?
Because it's easier to play than guitar. Guitar, if you think about it, as steel strings. And what happens to the fingers, you have to build up calluses, and sometimes they bleed. Yet, you know, it's really tough. Ukulele is also kind of strong calluses, but doesn't go to the extreme the guitar it has when you have to press down on the strings. So this is a nice instrument to learn. Easy to handle and easy to carry and enjoyable.
Tell me about what you enjoy about the ukulele jam on Wednesday nights here.
I joined this group this is my fifth time here. You know what I like about this group? I travel 2.5 hours to get here. I live way over at Mississauga and Oakville. So I take the subway, the bus and so forth and eventually get here in 2.5 hours. When I first came here, I liked the atmosphere. The crowd is nice. The feeling is nice. It's a term crowd. It's not a rough crowd. It's a refined crowd with serious attitude towards music, and an enjoyable crowd too. And it's not just horsing around. This is a learning situation, a growing situation, and a nice group, really nice group.
I told Mary about us. I told her about our great sin. Mary cried and forgave me, and Mary took me back again.
Barry Savage primarily plays wind instruments, the saxophone and the clarinet. But since he likes to sing, he also plays lead lines on the piano. He picked up the ukulele because he realized he couldn't sing with the wind instruments.
And I was doing a lot of traveling with my work, but I couldn't travel with a piano. And I thought about the ute, so I got one because it's tiny and easy to take, and then I've been in love ever since.
And leave me alone, I want to go home. Mary is waiting.
The ukulele originated in Hawaii, where the name means jumping flea. Illustrator David Olson picks up the history.
The ukulele was sort of introduced by the Portuguese in Hawaii. They had a small instrument, I can't remember the name of it now, steel-stringed instrument, I believe, but about the same size as the modern ukulele. The Hawaiians saw it. According to legend, they saw the way the Portuguese sailors' fingers danced on the fretboards and thought they would look like jumping fleas. So that's where the name ukulele comes from. So they adapted it. They started making them themselves based on the design of the Portuguese instruments. But I guess they didn't have access to steel strings or anything, so they just got strings originally. Some of the old island ukes are really just beautiful instruments.
That Portuguese ukulele precursor David was searching for was called the cavaquinho. And while ukulele music has always been popular in the Hawaiian Islands, ukuleles became a mainland craze following their appearance at the 1915 Panama Pacific International Exposition in San Francisco. After World War II, the early television play-along hit Arthur Godfrey and his ukulele, drove a second boom that resulted in millions of plastic instruments being sold. The 1960s saw the decline of the ukulele's popularity, though who over 50 can forget the late Herbert Cowrie, a.k.a. Tiny Tim, who warbled his way to fame with his 1960s falsetto rendition of Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Of course, Uke Jam regulars like Amy Singer and David Olson can rattle off a number of ukulele luminaries.
Who today is the star ukulele player? Who's the Eric Clapton of the ukuleleists? Ukuleleists, I guess? I don't know.
I have seen on YouTube Jake Shimabukuro, is that pronounced properly? And the man plays like you will never believe. You need to just type in "While My Guitar Gently Weeps" ukulele in YouTube. His fingers fly. He plays things that would belong on a concert stage. He's incredible. There are also people who are...
James Hill is the Canadian virtuoso. But personally, I'm not really interested in virtuoso ukulele playing. It just seems kind of, I don't know, counterintuitive. It just doesn't seem to work. I mean, I know Royce Mech back in the 20s and 30s was playing Paganini stuff on the ukulele, and it's fun to watch and fun to listen to as well. But I tend to gravitate towards, you know, the just regular players. Cliff Edwards, ukulele Ike, back in the 20s and 30s was a magnificent performer, one of the great ukulele players, and he never played anything in a virtuoso style. His ukulele was strictly accompaniment for his vocal.
I could change the gray skies to blue if I had you.
And he was a wonderful singer. He was the voice of Jiminy Cricket.
George Harrison, I've been told, wrote most of the Beatles songs on the uke, which is why they're so easy to play on the uke. Yeah.
As a former guitar player and collector, I knew that C.F. Martin was the most sought-after make of guitar. So I asked David Olson what the C.F. Martin of the ukulele world was.
I was just saying that the Martin is the Stradivarius of guitars, and David was saying that...
Well, C.F. Martin is the Stradivarius of ukuleles as well. They were the first mainland company to pick up the ukulele when it really became a big thing in the teens. They started their production line in 1916, and by the mid-20s, they were making more ukuleles than anybody. I think for a while they were making more ukuleles than guitars. People are making all kinds of ukes now. In fact, Kala is coming out with a production line bass ukulele. It should be out this month, I think. But, you know, there are different sizes of ukes. There's the sopranos, there are concerts, there are sopraninos, which are even smaller than sopranos. Soprano is the standard size. The tenors, baritones, which is a relatively modern thing. I think baritones really came in the 50s. But and there are banjo ukuleles. There are all sorts of different things.
The instrument's unique place in Canadian history stems from the Ukulele in the Classroom program, started in 1967. It put easy-to-play ukuleles in the hands of thousands of Canadian school children. David Newland remembers the program.
There was actually a kind of a wave that went through in the 70s and 80s where a lot of Canadian school children played ukes thanks to the work of a guy called Chalmers Doan in Halifax, who's a musician and an educator and a great ukulele enthusiast. And he really promoted the uke as a great learning instrument. And because of his efforts, he came up with some really solid pedagogy around the uke. And so it was in a lot of classrooms. At one time, I think there were something like 50 or 60,000 Canadian kids playing the uke in public schools, and I was one of those kids. So I played it as a kid, and then I sort of moved beyond it, wound up playing guitar in my teen years. But eventually, I traveled to the Fiji Islands, and everybody there plays uke. And they play this beautiful kind of Polynesian music. A lot of it's based around the uke. And so I kind of fell in love with it again, and then I walked into a guitar shop one day when I came home, saw a beautiful resonator ukulele, metal body, gorgeous to look at, picked it up, took it home, and nothing's been the same since.
Meanwhile, back at the Uke Jam Best Of show.
Seeing life, I know.
Katie Fotheringham was assuring herself YouTube fame with her dazzling performance, during which she played the ukulele and sang while effortlessly swinging a hula hoop around her hips.
Well, I took up the ukulele about a year ago and to play at my brother's wedding. And at my brother's wedding, the other bridesmaid had brought a hula hoop with her. And so I started to learn how to hula hoop and got really into it. And then it just seemed like a good idea to try both at the same time. It's kind of, they go together well, you know. The ukulele is kind of like hula dancing Hawaiian, the hula hoop. It's all the same sort of motions. So I don't know, just it's not, you just kind of have to separate it in your mind, I think, and body.
But doesn't the ukulele already have enough of an image problem that it doesn't need a hula hoop?
You're probably right. It was a little gimmicky, but honestly, I think the short answer is I just do it because I can. So that's why.
What was most intriguing about the ukulele jam, though, was that even in these tough economic times, everyone seemed to be in such good humor. I turned to David Newland for an explanation.
Most of the world probably looks at the ukulele and ridicules or just has a good chuckle. What's the appeal of the ukulele?
I think it's that it gives everybody a good chuckle. You know, I think we chuckle as much as anybody. It's just a great instrument to play. It has a really nice tone. It's in a lovely range, you know, almost in the voice of a child, you know, so it has a very, very friendly tone. It's easy to sing along to. It's easy to learn to play and get a nice clear tone out of it and to accompany yourself while you sing or to just noodle around. And it's small and it's an affectionate instrument. It's fun, it's cute, and it somehow engenders this kind of community feeling around it. When a bunch of uke players get together, they're all just so happy to be in the same space and playing it. It's a great feeling. As George Harrison said, it's impossible to be depressed while you're playing the ukulele.
And at least for 3 hours every Wednesday evening, in the speakeasy room at the back of the Dominion Pub on Queen Street, Harrison's dictum seems to hold very true. This is Peter Stock reporting.